95.3 WBCK. Welcome to the Cowardly Gardener Show. Everything from azaleas and asparagus to Zenobia and ZZ plants. If it's growing in the Battle Creek area, Bob Coward's here to tackle your question. Here's your host, Bob Coward.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart.
WBCK. It's the Cowardly Gardener with Mr. Bob Coward. We'll be taking your calls at 441-9595. The number again is 441-9595. I'm Brad Carpenter, just pushing the buttons and letting Bob do all the heavy lifting. So how you doing today, Bob?
Good. I'm feeling strong.
Well, good.
Now that I got to do all the heavy lifting.
Well, that's right. Well, you're more physically fit. You actually work. You got a job where you actually do manual labor. And well, I get to work 1 hour a week nowadays. I used to be here 7 days a week doing news and weather and doing all that Fox stuff that they don't put on the air anymore. So it's just 1 day a week. But it's nice to be able to come in here and chat and
keeps you off the streets and out of trouble, right?
Yeah, gives my dog something to do. Come here and lay on the floor and watch what's going on.
Well, he's over there half knocked out, I think.
He's kind of
tipped over there.
Yeah, Dave isn't real, let's say, he's a Jack Russell. And, you know, people always think they're bouncing off the walls. And in your humble opinion, does Dave bounce off the walls much?
No, Dave is the most mellow Jack Russell Terrier in the history of the world, in my opinion. Most of them have a spring in their butt, and he reminds me more of a bloodhound, quite honestly. He's got that laid back style that a bloodhound has.
Well, that's what happens to a dog when they live to a 71-year-old man that is really lazy.
they take the shape of their owner, regardless what they are.
Well, he's not quite my shape. He's still a little slim. So.
Well, nothing wrong with that.
What's new in your world? You know, we're getting rain nowadays, and, you know, what's the word?
Boy, oh boy, the slugs have come out like crazy this last week or two with all the rain. The hostas are getting holes in them, and the slugs are crawling everywhere. And so they're starting to do some damage on things. And, of course, they crawl around in the nighttime hours usually, but you might see some in the day if the sun's not shining too good. But they're crawling around. Boy, they're big ones right now. And, of course, you know, the slugs, you can put a board down in your garden and put a little water underneath it, and then they'll crawl underneath there. And if you pick the board up, they'll be underneath there, and just shake a little salt on them, and they'll turn blue and blow up, and that'll usually do a pretty good job of taking care of them. There's Sluggo, which is an iron phosphate bait that you can put down for them that works pretty good. But you want to be – there's another one that's actually a slug bait that's got metahaldehyde in it, and that is actually very toxic for dogs. So that one you want to be a little bit careful if you do use the bait pellets for slugs. And you have a dog, you want to be careful with that because that is toxic to dogs. So that one's one you want to be a little careful how you do it.
So they have stuff called Sluggo, huh?
Sluggo, yeah. Sluggo is iron phosphate, and that is pretty much non-toxic to animals and actually is somewhat of a fertilizer for your plants, but that does away with the slugs. But if you can put a board down, you can usually get a pretty good handle on your slugs and keep them off your stuff. And
well, I always remember Sluggo as the guy that used to beat up Mr. Bill. You know,
I often wonder if there's some sort of copyright infringement with that, but I don't know. Maybe they changed it and did a little.
Well, maybe Sluggo got it from Mr. Bill.
I think they probably did. They probably just took and put a dash in there after the O or something to make it so it didn't infringe on it.
Yeah, you know, a little. It's like Whammo for frisbees.
Yeah. Well, you know, the slugs are pretty bad, but something I saw yesterday that I guess I shouldn't be shocked, but I was a little surprised, I guess, was I saw a tussock moth yesterday. And tussock moths are what they commonly refer to as fall webworms. So here in the next couple weeks, you'll probably start to see webbing in black walnut trees. And some of the trees, you'll start to get almost like a web nest up there with those tussock moths. And those usually really don't do any damage to the tree because the tree has already basically made most of its leaves it's going to make for the year. So it really makes it just look kind of ugly. One of the things that people have told me over the years, I saw those webs up there, so I took a stick and burned it out. Well, the burning will actually do more damage to the tree than the moth will do. But the tussock moth is coming. So I saw one of those yesterday. It was a kind of an orange colored one, kind of pretty looking thing, but they got little black barbs on them. So if you touch them, they have a tendency to, I won't say sting you, but definitely not feel good necessarily. So
now the moths are not. You know, you always think a moth is a nice little fluttery thing, even though they might be eating your trees or something, but this one actually has a sticker on it. Huh?
Yeah, a lot of the different caterpillars like that, and not so much in Michigan, but in other parts of the world, I mean, South America and some places like that, you see some of those caterpillars with those spines on their back. If you touch them, they really mess you up. But here in Michigan, they're not something that's going to necessarily totally mess you up, but they can be a little bit tough. And so you just probably want to not handle them if you see them.
And what color is this moth? Did you say
this
orange?
This one was orange, but there's some that are kind of whitish and some that are kind of yellowish that you'll start to see over the next month or so. And
I'll keep my eyes open for those a little
crazy. Yeah, they're real super furry, and then they'll usually have like black or yellow spines kind of sticking out above the fur.
So skull of crossbones on
Yeah, they probably should, but they don't. But those are ones you want to be a little bit careful of. I did get a call from George this week. Did you know that?
Really? Yeah. What's Dowling George?
Dowling George.
Well, what's George got to say?
He said it was his granddaughter got into some giant hogweed and ended up in the hospital.
Oh, no.
Not sure if she got it off the dog or how she got it exactly, but it burned her hand real bad.
Oh, no.
And giant hogweed, of course, it was in bloom about 10 to 14 days ago. And
what does that stuff look like?
It looks like kind of like a giant Queen Anne's lace. Gets a big white flower like what Queen Anne's lace has. And
yeah.
It's got kind of purple-colored stems on it, and the leaves are fairly large and kind of deeply serrated. But it's out there, and we've talked about it over the years, and giant hogweed can be quite a problem if you touch it. It burns you real bad. It's kind of like stinging nettle, only on steroids, because that stuff gets on your – they poke into your skin little hairs, whatever you want to call them, barbs, whatever, that are on the foliage and the stems. That gets down into your hand, and then it causes – almost a caustic type of situation where you'll get second and third degree burns. If you get it in your eye, you can go blind. So it's a pretty bad thing. And so giant hogweed is something that if you know you got it, you probably want to get rid of it.
Man, how did I avoid that as a kid?
Well, it wasn't as prevalent back in those days. It got imported into the U.S. It came from Russia, the Caucasus region of Russia, and I want to say they brought that in maybe in the late 70s, early 80s.
Well, probably during the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Yeah, somebody went over there and saw it in Georgia and thought it was a beautiful plant. And said, be a great one. Well, they didn't realize that how invasive it is, and it each flower will produce, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 seeds. So then, of course, once you get it going, then it'll spread all over the place. And it grows right along the edges of wet areas, generally, is where you're going to normally see it, is in partly shaded, slightly sunny, wet spots is where it really likes to grow. And it's got a big tap root on it, similar to a turnip or a carrot or whatever you want to say. And it is pretty invasive and pretty bad. So it's something that you really want to try to learn to identify and learn to stay away from, because that's one that if you get it on you, it can really cause some problems.
He's Bob Coward, the Cowardly Gardener. We're taking your calls at 441-9595. And, well, Bob, we're working without a call screener this morning.
Yeah, we're doing a high wire act without a net.
Boy, so we got a APB out on looking for Jim Mead. He's not here, and he does a great job, you know, getting these calls. I can look at a screen. It says the name of the caller. In fact, we're getting a caller now. So, folks, I'm screening the calls right now. So if you call, I'm going to put you on hold right away, and then I'm not going to have any idea what your name is or what you want. So I'll have to sort of communicate with you the best I can when Bob's talking. And so anyway, I'm going to quit talking right now. We have a caller on hold, and we'll get to that call following this. .3 WBCK is Bob Coward, the Cowardly Gardener. Give us a call at 441-9595. That number again is 441-9595. And we have our first caller. And like I say, we don't have a call screener, so I'm just going to have to put them on the air without knowing who they are and what they want. Caller number one, according to the caller ID, your last name is Van Hosen, so, or something like that. So go ahead, caller. What would you like to ask Bob? There we go.
Hey, Bob, that's pretty good. It's Teresa Van Hosen.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm a new listener. My brother Richard Van Hosen turned me on to your show a couple of weeks ago, and I absolutely love it. You might hear from me a lot because I know nothing, and I have a good question for you. I've got some big pots on my balcony that gets minimal sunlight. It's mostly shade, but I'd like to put in perennials. Could you suggest perennials that would thrive in a shady environment?
Well, the biggest problem you got with putting a perennial in a pot is the fact that some perennials have a tendency to not overwinter too well because the pot freezes and it may actually kill them. Probably hostas would be the best thing, and you can get, there's a lot of smaller varieties of hostas you can get that are multi-different leaf colors. And what you could actually do is put some of those in there and then use a mix of like coleus and impatiens in the pot with them, or probably maybe an asparagus fern in the spring. You plant the hostas to give you some leaf color and texture, and then put in some annuals mixed in with it, and that would give you a nice mix. Whether or not those hostas would make it through the winter because of the pot being above ground, that's hard to say. It just depends on what you're going to be, what the situation is, how cold it gets, how high you are, all that kind of stuff.
Okay, great. I like that idea. I actually have a lot of hostas around the property, and when's the best time? I thought maybe I could dig a few up and plant them in there, too. What's the best time to transplant them?
10:05.
Okay. So hostas, not like the fall?
They're best done in March, but hostas are really tough. I mean, they're a very tough plant. You can dig up a pretty good-sized crown of those, break it into some pieces, and transplant them right now. And now, yes, the leaves that are on there are going to turn brown and look kind of ugly, but you can snip those off. All you're really after is that root. As long as you get a piece with, you know, 3 to 5 eyes on it, plug that in there. If it looks kind of ugly for now, that's fine, because what you're really trying to do is get that thing to root in your pot. If you want to wait till March, that would be a good time to do it. That way you get the whole entire summer with the foliage growing and that kind of thing. If you want to do it now, that'll give you a month or two for those things to really get rooted in there. And then it wouldn't be a bad idea come fall time, after you get a good hard freeze, just cut all the leaves off and then just put a nice layer of mulch on top of the pot. And that should help protect the crown of those things a little bit.
Okay, so cut leaves off and cover with mulch.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much, Bob. That's been awesome. I've taken a whole page of notes here.
Well, and one thing I got to tell you is when you call in, make sure you turn your radio down because we're on a 10-second delay. So I hear myself talking 10 seconds ago in the background.
Oh, my apologies. Oh, okay.
It's all right. See, it's your first time, so we'll cut you a break this time.
Yeah,
we'll get
Bob.
You educated. There's no problem there.
Awesome. Thank you. I appreciate your information today.
All right. And you know, if you're a first time, your brother turned you on to it, call everybody you know around the country, not only just in Battle Creek, Kalamazoo area, but call everybody around the country. Tell them to tune in on the WBCK app, and they can listen worldwide on the World Wide Web.
As long as the World Wide Web isn't down. I'm going to put that out on social media, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, another thing that you can do is either on the WBCK webpage or the app, if you go to the archives, you can pull up today's show. It'll probably be on the web here next week, hopefully Monday or Tuesday. You can go and pull up the show and listen to your call. And if there's something that you didn't write down, you can listen to it again and you can hear your question and the answer.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Okay.
And so it would just be WBCK.com?
Yeah, actually, it's 953WBCK.com.
953WBCK.com. Beautiful. Yeah. I will do that. Thank you.
Well, thank you, and you have a good
one. You guys rock.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, we do.
Yeah,
we got a little rock coming up at the end of the show.
We sure do, and we have callers. We have three callers on hold right now, and callers, we don't have a call screener, so I'm going to get you on one by one, and following this, we're going to go to our next caller.
What's that, dog?
WBCK is Cowardly Gardner with Mr. Bob Coward. And Bob, let's go to our next caller. And go ahead, caller. What's your question for Bob?
Hello?
There you go. You're on the air.
Okay. Well, my name's Diane. I'm out in East Leroy area. And I was wondering, we have kiwi. I've called, you know, prior years. We've had it for 8 years, and this is the first year we haven't cut it wrong because we do have kiwi, and we've got a lot of them, and that's the biggest we've ever gotten. So my question is the tendrils, there's some that are coming up, and they're twisted. Should we cut those off? I don't want to do anything to hurt them. Be bigger.
Well, a lot of times with kiwis, they're like Medusa's head, man. They just grow stems every which way. So if you got stuff that are coming up below ground or kind of crossing over, you can take some of that off. One of the things, though, that they do is they kind of provide cover and shading for the kiwis that are on there. So that kind of protects them from sunburn and also from any animal that might see them. So cut any that are, you know, coming out into your walkways or areas that are bothering you so you can't mow or whatever it may be. But if there's ones that are just there, let those kind of go to kind of shade and cover the fruit that is there.
Okay. Well, they're just, you know, spindly and they're up on top, you know, and so those we could probably cut off, right?
Absolutely.
Because they're not doing anything.
Those are not going to do much. Matter of fact, those are the ones that are going to get cut off either this fall or next spring anyway. So you're really not losing much.
Okay. Well, thank you. We're praying for kiwi for the first time, and we'll see in September when we harvest them.
You're going to find out that patience is a virtue because they're pretty darn good when they're fresh.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for Ad Radio. God bless you.
You're welcome. And by the way, Ad Radio is no more. She probably remembers the old Ad Radio show.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Ad Radio. Yes, I do.
Yeah, this is the Cowardly Gardener, but we know what you meant.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sure you did. Okay, well, thank you again. We love the garden show.
You're welcome. Well, Bob, here's our next caller. Go ahead, caller. What do you have for Bob?
Yes, is this Ad Radio?
Yeah, well, sort of. We're selling gardening, you know, so go ahead and ask your question there.
Hey, Bob, I bought some stuff from Chapman's when they were still open called Carbaryl. and we sprayed it around the eggplant. You told me that these little pepper specks were actually a flea beetle.
Yes.
That stuff completely controls those flea beetles. So I started using it more and more. I got a pint, and I used it on broccoli, and we grew a lot of beautiful broccoli that I'm ready to cut. Is there special problems with Carbaryl in a food plant like that direct?
Well, Carbaryl is 7. Now, 7 is labeled for food crops. I'd have to look at the label, but I do believe there's a depends on the crop because it varies depending on the crop and you want to read the label on it. They have what's called PHI or post-harvest interval. And basically what that means is you're supposed to wait so many days before you harvest after you spray.
After you spray.
So if you say you sprayed a week ago and the post-harvest interval is 14 days, you need to wait another week before you harvest it and eat it. So when you are spraying those items, you want to know what that PHI is before you spray, because what you don't want to do is have your broccoli be darn near ready, spray today, and then find out, oh, it's a 14-day PHI on that thing, and now I got to wait 14 days. Well, by then, the broccoli's gone into bloom, and it's past its peak. So right. You want to be a little bit careful with that. But on the label, it should say what the post-harvest interval is on 7. I want to say most of those crops are 7 days, but I'd have to see the label to give you an exact answer.
I should be almost fine. But, I mean, you're inducing that stuff into some real hot, I mean, boiling water. Is that... That has nothing to do with it, that you're not per se boiling that stuff out of it?
Well, you know, you're washing it off and all that kind of stuff. But I guess the question I would ask of you, would you like to pour yourself a shot of 7 and take a drink of it straight?
Right. Well, you know what? You say that this stuff is 7, but I couldn't deter any of those bugs with that 7 powder.
Well, 7 powder doesn't work very well.
It doesn't. It really doesn't. You can, you know, like on potatoes and things too. This Carbaryl is an effective product. I'll check out that PSI. Glad to hear you guys doing the show again. It's great.
Well, thanks for the call.
You bet.
He's George. Not George. I'm looking at the next caller. I don't know if it's actually George, but that's what it says on the call ID. But anyway, this is the Cowardly Gardener. Give us a call at 441-9595. And go ahead, caller. What's your question for Bob?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good.
Hey, I got a question. I planted some grass. Well, I got a load of topsoil in. And I planted grass seed, and I went on vacation this last month, you know, and come back, and I had crabgrass terrible.
Mm-hmm.
What do I use to get rid of that crabgrass?
Well, have you mowed the new grass yet?
Yeah, I had to. When I come back, that crabgrass was like, I don't know, probably 10 inches tall, you know, had sprouts of like 10 inches tall. So I mowed it. And
and what you have is truly crabgrass and not quack grass?
I don't know. I'm not sure if it's crabgrass or what's the difference of quack grass.
Well, quack grass has a long white root, and that's a perennial. Got a kind of a dark green wide blade. The crabgrass is going to be kind of yellowish, lime green, lay flat on the ground generally, and that's an annual.
Well, it must be quack grass then.
Okay.
I pulled it, and there's a lot of roots.
White roots that are in there?
Yep.
And there's basically the only spray for that is going to be Roundup, and that's going to kill everything.
Ew, boy. Okay.
So, you know, crabgrass, there is a spray for crabgrass, and right now is the time to spray it, and that's Quinlorac, or Q, as they like to call it, which is usually mixed with a 2,4-D product, and that would take out the crabgrass. Quackgrass is a perennial grass. There's nothing on the market other than, like, Roundup or horticultural vinegar or things like that that'll take that out. The thing to do, though, is with quackgrass, a lot of times your grass seed will start to fill in, and if you keep that mowed and if you have any bare spots, August is your month to start sowing more grass seed. Start sowing some more grass seed in there, mow it, and then sow some more grass seed, and then wait a couple weeks, mow it again, sow some more grass seed. You can usually fill those areas in pretty well. The question, too, is what kind of grass seed did you buy?
I got the Scotts that had the the white stuff on it.
Oh, the moisture control. That's good grass. Yeah. That's excellent grass. That's a dwarf variety of grass. The reason I ask is because there's a lot of cheaper grasses out there that have Kentucky 31 tall fescue in it, and you want to stay away from those because that's also a wide-bladed perennial grass. But that Scotts works very well. I've used that myself. It's expensive as can be, but the stuff does work very well, and it's dwarf and dark green and excellent grass. So if you let that stuff fill in, that will eventually choke that quack grass out.
Okay. And another thing, I got some cedars that I want to trim, you know, the tops off. When's a good time to trim them?
Really, the best time to do those would be like March or April. If you had to do it right now, you could do it right now, but that would make them awful bare going into winter because they're not going to grow a whole lot more over the next month. So if you can do it next spring.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I met you downtown at a Social Security seminar a couple months ago, and you answered some questions at it. And as soon as I heard your voice, I said, "That's Bob."
Well, I learned a lot about Social Security when I was there, so that was a good thing. I had a few questions myself about Social Security, but I always get the tax side of it because I do taxes in the winter.
Yeah. All right. You guys have a good weekend.
All right. You too.
He's Bob Coward, the Cowardly Gardener. Give us a call at 441-9595 and give us a call now because the lines are open.
Okay.
WBCK is Bob Coward, the Cowardly Gardener, coming back with the sounds of Linda Ronstadt. So did you ever see Linda Ronstadt in concert?
No, I've seen a lot of concerts, but never saw Linda Ronstadt. Interesting thing about her was about half the guys that played in the Eagles were her backup band when she first started.
Yeah, they were the Stone Ponies, I believe.
Yeah.
I can't say they were the Stone Ponies because that's where she first started, in the Stone Ponies. And, then her backup band was, basically the Eagles, and they split from her and became the Eagles, and it's all history.
Yeah, boy, oh, boy, what a lineup that is, huh?
Well,
I mean, Don Henley and Glenn Frey, I mean, that's a pretty good backup band, I would say.
I saw Linda Ronstadt late 70s. In San Francisco at Candlestick Park, and they used to have every weekend they had a big concert called Day on the Green because it was on the turf of Candlestick. And the concert I went to was Linda Ronstadt, the Beach Boys, and Dolly Parton.
Wow.
Well, oh, yeah. I mean, these were the original Beach Boys. It was all of the original guys. And Linda Ronstadt was great. Boy, does she have a voice. But anyway, that was our music portion of history today. And
well, not totally.
Well,
you know, I was telling you off the air about Sammy Hagar. He's in concert right now doing the Best of All Worlds tour, which is basically tribute to Van Halen, and got Joe Satriani playing guitar and Jason Bonham playing drums. And they started their tour last weekend in West Palm Beach, Florida, and got pretty good reviews on it. Place was packed, and they're heading this way. They're going to be in Detroit on August 2nd.
That's just around the corner.
Not too far away. But he said that he's looking for the state trooper from New York that pulled him over and gave him a ticket for going 62 miles an hour in a 55 zone. And he wrote the song I Can't Drive 55 literally 10 minutes after that cop pulled him over. And so they're trying to find this cop because he said he's going to take him backstage and maybe fly him to Cabo for the weekend or whatever. Because, of course, Sammy made millions on that song. And
oh, yeah, he made millions on that song. And so that was the best ticket he ever got.
Yeah, and so they're trying to figure out exactly who this cop was that pulled him over from the state police and gave him the ticket. And the rest is history.
The rest is history. And, well, Bob, we do have a caller on the line. It's our
there's only one guy that's got his own song.
There's only one guy that has a theme song, and it's George from Dowling. And so let's get him on the air. Go ahead, George. What do you got for us?
Well, are you giving away trips? I'll take a trip to Hickory Corners.
Hey, well, you got it. It'll be on me.
Okay. I do have a notice I saw on TV that the drought monitor is on for the Saginaw Valley. So the drought is coming back, it sounds like.
Well, it's certainly not around here. The last week to 10 days, we probably had anywhere from 7 to 10 inches of rain, depending on where you're located at. Now, yes, there are parts of the state that are starting to dry up, but around here, probably not so much. But it won't take long once we start getting some drier days. And this week is supposed to be mostly dry. So I haven't really watered my corn or my flowers or much of the stuff in the ground much. But I got to believe probably about tomorrow, I'm going to have to start watering. I've been watering the stuff in my pots very vigorously because twice a day almost, my tomatoes and some of those things are really starting to dry up. So even though the days are starting to get a little bit shorter, stuff is really starting to grow quick, and the tomatoes are starting to come on. The cucumbers are starting to come on. I got some great-looking cantaloupes, some great-looking pumpkins, and corn is starting to tassel. So it should be a pretty good harvest this fall.
Yeah, with this hot weather coming, the transpiration rate this week will be very high, I'm assuming.
Absolutely. And we're a little bit drier, not quite as humid, so it's going to dry stuff up pretty quick. We did hear a commercial, though, from the Farm Bureau a little while ago about funguses, and definitely starting to see a little bit of blight on the tomatoes, definitely starting to see a little bit of powdery mildew on the cantaloupes and the melons. So certainly now is the time to spray for that. You probably want to go out close to dark and hit those things. Make sure on the tomatoes you're hitting the lower portion of the leaves, and on the melons and so forth, try to coat as much of the surface as you can hit.
Now, I have a question on lawn, kind of related. I have, we know quack grass, but I had a neighbor look to my yard over the other day, and he said he thought I had some duck grass growing there. What is that? A wide blade leaf, I think he told me.
Well, there's goose grass.
What about quack grass? That sounds like ducks.
Yeah, that sounds like duck. No, probably goose grass. Goose grass is an annual grass, and if you put down pre-emergent crabgrass preventer in the spring, that will prevent goose grass. I get goose grass in my yard a lot of times, actually by my driveway for some reason. It heats up there better. Goose grass, if you mow it this time of year, it's just about starting to set its seed heads, much like crabgrass is. If you mow it, it almost looks like little furry tufts, almost like the head of a troll or something after you mow it. So it's got kind of a furry looking cut. It doesn't cut very readily because it's very, very wiry type of grass. So goose grass is coming on real good right now.
There's no spray for it now, then.
Say that again, George.
No spray to do it right now.
Oh, you could spray, if it is goose grass, you could spray it with crab grass killer, which is Q or Quinlorac. That will actually take it out. So you can actually spray that now with that, but you're going to want to hit it pretty quick because it's going to seed.
I'll send my wife out 10 o'clock then. Thank you.
All right.
So, Bob, when you spray this crabgrass killer or whatever?
Yes.
What about your pets? Can they go out in the yard after that, or give it a couple hours?
You want to let it thoroughly dry. And normally with that stuff, what you want to do is, if you can, try to spray it, mid to late afternoon. And then if you can, keep the animal inside all night. And then by the next day, it's usually fine.
Okay. That's Bob Coward at 441-9595. The lines are open. So give us a call at 441-9595. You don't want to wait until the end of the show, because quite a lot of times, all of a sudden, people remember, hey, I got a question. And next thing you know, there's five people and there's only 3 minutes left. So give us a call now and we'll take your call. But remember, our trusty call screener, Mr. Jim Mead, isn't here today. So I'm taking the calls. And so when you call, you're going to be put directly on hold, but you'll be able to hear the radio show going on. And then I'll try to talk to you, letting you know what order your call is in, because there's a special thing. In fact, right now we're getting a call. Let's just go to this caller. We don't know who this person is, but go ahead, caller. What do you got for Bob?
Well, Bob, I was on a couple of weeks ago about my snake plant, and you told me to cut it back. But how far down should I cut it?
Well, you can cut them off right at the ground line if you want.
Okay.
Wherever you cut it, it's going to stop growing. So it really doesn't make sense to, if it's 2 feet tall, to cut it back to a foot, because that thing will never really grow back out very readily. So you're better off just to take and cut that stem right to the ground, and then just let the new one shoot up from below ground and do its thing.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Good luck.
Okay, we have another call here. Go ahead, caller. What's your question for Bob? And your last four digits of your phone number is 1067. So go ahead, 1067.
Yes. We've had so much moisture, I've noticed my cabbage is starting to crack.
Yes. Not unusual. I mentioned last week the tomatoes are starting to crack. Cabbage will crack too, because what will happen, it will get all that rain and it will swell up and it will actually explode. The thing you're going to want to do is keep a sharp eye on that, because once that thing cracks, it's going to have a tendency, especially if we get more rain, you may start to see that thing start to turn black on that where that crack is. And if that's the case, you're going to want to probably harvest that thing. It may be a little early, but it's better than just letting the whole entire thing just rot. Because if you leave that crack, and with the drier weather this week, you'll probably be okay. But if you start to see that thing turn black around there, it's probably better to pick it and enjoy it rather than just let it rot and mold and go bad.
Okay, yeah. And also this weekend is the garden show.
Oh, yeah, the garden tour, exactly.
Yep. And I hope a lot of people turn out for it.
Yep. The garden tour for Lyle Arboretum Society. So you can call LAS and get a ticket, or actually they sell the tickets right on the site. So.
Yep. All right. Have a good day.
Yep.
Thanks. Thank you. Bye.
This is Bob Coward, the Cowardly Gardener. Coming up, we have more callers.
Hey, Barn, won't watch Opie cross-examine me? He's been practicing.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Opie.
Now, Sheriff Taylor, did you not say the post toasters had the cornflakes crackling with fresh corn flavor?
Well...
Answer yes or no, please.
Yes.
And didn't you say that from field to flake, post toasties never lose their fresh corn flavor? Yes or no?
Yes.
No further questions.
That's pretty good, Hope. You want him to practice law, huh?
No, I want him to practice selling post toasties.
WBCK, the voice of Battle Creek and the home of Post Toasties.
Yeah, and a special shout out to all the people working at Post. I know that there's a lot of them that listen to the show. You know, a good friend of mine, Mr. Durod James, and probably the greatest student that ever went to Siena Heights University, Mr. JoJo Bogan. Working as we speak.
Well, our hat's off to those folks.
You know, JoJo Bogan did something that I just still to this day think is incredible. He went from kindergarten to graduating from Battle Creek Central and never missed a day of class.
Wow.
That's pretty good, huh?
That's excellent.
And then, of course, he went to Siena Heights University and graduated from there, much like myself.
Well, Bob, we do have a caller on the line. And go ahead, caller, what's your question for the Cowardly Gardener?
Hi, my name is Bert, and I wonder about the difference of a plant, a vine. I know what poison ivy looks like. I have some in my garden, but then there's a vine that grows very fast in between my blackberries, and I don't know what it is. It has a three leaf, but it's a thinner, faster-growing vine than poison ivy. I'm just concerned about it.
Well, chances are good you got probably either vining milkweed or Chinese bittersweet would be my guess. Vining milkweed has kind of a rounded but it'll grow in groups of three leaf. It's a little more shiny. And then they'll produce these seed pods that look kind of like a bean. And those will actually have like the milkweed flower in them that when they open up, they fly all over the place. And those things, when you try to pull them out, they don't come out very readily. Chinese bittersweet is an imported vine. And if you pull that up, the root is always orange on it. So that's probably what you got. I doubt it's poison. I shouldn't say that. Probably could be poison ivy, but if you know poison ivy when you see it, that's probably what it is. But it's probably one of those other two vines because those are very common.
That sounds like a good tip to follow up. I'm going to check out the Chinese bittersweet because this vine is, the leaves are not very shiny. So that's a clue. I really appreciate. I love your show, and thank you very much.
Yeah, and if you pull it up and that root is orange, that's Chinese bittersweet. And what typically happens is the birds eat the seeds in the fall, fly into your blackberry patch, and let fly with a bomb. And next thing you know, you got it.
Yeah. Well, it must have happened. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Good luck.
Okay, Bob. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. What's your question for the Cowardly Gardener?
My question is, I'm really puzzled. We started out with some tomatoes that I thought maybe had gotten a little frosted, but they didn't pull out of it. And we pulled the plants, but I'm concerned that there's maybe a disease or a fungus because it has spread to the peppers and the eggplants. The stems coming out of the main stem of the plant are very long, and the leaves are curling from the center of the leaf down underneath. It's totally deformed looking. I just wonder if you've got any idea what this could be.
Do you have a black walnut nearby?
No.
Okay. If it's not a black walnut, then it sounds like you could have tobacco mosaic virus. If you have somebody that smokes and they smoke cigarette and then they handle the plant, you can spread it that way. Tobacco mosaic virus is also spread by leaf hoppers. And also if you buy infected stock that has it, typically what's going to happen is the stem will start to get somewhat triangular and or square and the leaves will get misshapen. And that usually is a pretty good indication you got tobacco mosaic virus. There is no chemical control for that. And that will stay in that soil. So you really need to plant a cover crop this fall, and hopefully that will rotate it out to something like winter rye, and that will usually rotate it out. If it's in a pot, wash the pot out thoroughly with a bleach and water solution and get fresh soilless mix next spring.
Okay, because they are in deck boxes, and I actually have four,
yep.
Two on each side of the deck, and two are affected. And the others are fine.
Yep.
And I had pulled the tomato plants out and got rid of them, hoping, but no, my eggplant peppers. Will it affect the fruit? Can we still eat it?
You could still eat it. The biggest thing is it just causes the plant to basically just get misshapen. The fruit will get misshapen. It's not inedible. It just reduces your harvest, and eventually the plant will die.
Okay, because the eggplants are beautiful. I've got one really nice looking pepper. It's crazy. Never seen anything like this.
Yep. Could very well be tobacco mosaic virus.
Okay. Well, thank you.
All right. Good
luck.
You guys
have a great day.
You too.
Thank you.
Well, Bob, we have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. What's your question for Bob Coward? Go ahead there, Mr. Hegerberg, or... All right.
Oh,
well,
hi.
Oh, okay. There we are. I knew you were out
there
somewhere.
Are.
Okay.
Well,
go ahead.
Yeah. Question. I got a tomato plant in a box, and tomatoes are about starting out pretty good, but a couple of them have got black spots on the bottom.
You might as well pick them off.
Yep, I've done that.
Okay, yeah, because you're getting blossom end rot. That's basically a calcium deficiency. If you would put some... Epsom salts or magnesium sulfate, about a teaspoon of that in the hole at the time you plant next spring. That would help with that because that helps them draw calcium. The magnesium that's in there will help them draw the calcium out of the soil.
And I appreciate your time.
All right.
Thank
good luck.
Thank you much.
Okay, Bob, we have one more caller here. Go ahead, caller. We'll get you in there. We still got about 4 minutes left. What's your question for the Cowardly Gardener?
Good morning, Bob. This is another of the crabgrass and the quackgrass question. Would the turf builder of Scott's that halts crabgrass would be a better preventative to start?
Well, anything that's got crabgrass preventer in it will work fine. You just got to put it on in April, generally, when the soil's at 55. The problem is this year we had kind of an extended spring, so you almost needed to do a split application of straight crabgrass preventer, no fertilizer. Probably do one at the end of March and do one about mid to late April, and you'd have probably had better results. I've noticed the crabgrass preventer didn't work as well this year as it has in other years.
My other second question is that what is this product that I was searching? And it's called corn gluten-based product. It comes in a liquid or a solid. It kills the weeds, seeds, before they have a chance to appear above the surface.
Yeah.
What is that stuff?
Well, it's corn gluten meal, and it works very similarly to a crabgrass preventer or preen. You got to put it on before the weeds germinate because it does not kill anything that's a perennial grass or anything that's above ground. So it works like a crabgrass preventer and a fertilizer, but you got to put that on before the weeds germinate. So it'd be pretty much like a crabgrass preventer.
So, and something like that, would Farm Bureau and Climax carry that?
They have had it at times past, but if they don't have it, they can probably get it because they have sold it. I know that for a fact.
But you're saying right now, put in that, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, Corclin, the Q?
Yeah, get the Q and use that spray.
And that is at that's an Ace Hardware, Farm Bureau.
I know for a fact Farm Bureau has it because I bought some out there a while back.
Okay. And start doing that now, spraying that in late afternoon.
Yes.
And how many times during a week do you do that?
Typically, two applications is plenty.
So
about 7 days apart.
7 days apart. For how long?
Two applications.
Two applications, okay, for one week and then one the next week. Okay,
right.
Very good. All right. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate you.
Right.
Thank you and your channel. Thank you.
Well, let's do a lightning call. You only got 1 minute, Ryan. What's your problem for Bob?
I got a cucumber that just a few leaves have wilted on it, but not all the leaves.
Well, you could be getting bacterial wilt, which is a fungal disease that you can get, and that can also be spread by leaf hoppers. There is no chemical control for that. Best thing to do is put a liquid fertilizer on there and see if you can get the plant to come out of it.
Okay, thank you.
All right, good luck.
Well, that was a lightning call.
Yes, it was.
I'm happy we got to sneak him in there. I wasn't sure because, you know, some of these calls go on and on.
Absolutely. So it worked out perfectly. We have a little Van Halen coming up and Van Halen month this month with Sammy coming to Pine Knob on August 2nd. And I want to dedicate this one to the ladies.
Okay, here's one for the ladies.
Need something to keep you cool. I'm out summertime, so babe, need something to keep you cool. Better look out now, though, Dave's got something to you. Tell you what it is, I'm your ice cream man. Stop me when I'm passing by. Oh my, my, I'm your ice cream man. Stop me when I'm passing by. Sing now, all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy. Hold on a second, baby. I gotta put my banana Dixie cups, all flavors and push-ups too. I'm your ice cream man, baby. Stop me when I'm passing by. See now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy. Hold on one more. Well, I'm usually passing by just about 11.